our reading for this evening is from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord.
Cool, thanks Fiona. Shall we pray? Yeah, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it feeds us, that it sustains us. And we pray that this evening that you would speak into each of our hearts, Lord. Be amongst us and within us. Amen. Amen. Great. It's great to be with you. For those who don't know me, my name is Louise. I'm the student worker here, and I'm excited to unpack this passage for you this evening and see what we can do together to see what God is saying through it. But to understand this passage from this evening, we kind of have to understand the context into which Jesus is speaking. This kind of mini sermon that Jesus delivers here is born out of basically his absolute distaste for the way that one man has been treated. The injustice that Jesus is referring to as he speaks of sheep and shepherds and gates is based around a man who was born blind, whose story is documented in chapter 9 of John's Gospel, just before our passage from chapter 10 this evening. And incredibly, this man who has been blind since birth experiences complete healing by Jesus. He met Jesus and his sight was restored. It's a miracle. His sight is restored. But there's a cultural belief at the time that this man's condition is a result of his parents' sin, kind of a generational curse for previous sin. So on top of his physical condition, this man that Jesus meets would have lived with shame and with social stigma. And we see this as the disciples ask Jesus. They say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There's a stigma about that. But Jesus doesn't see things how other people do. Jesus sees that man for who he really is. He sees him with love and he sees him with compassion, as someone who has innate value just because they are a child of God. And so this man who was once blind but now can see, he's been shown mercy by Jesus in a world where he would have been avoided by people and ostracized from community because of his lack of sight. The sad thing is, though, that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they just can't deal with the way that Jesus treats this man in a counter-cultural way. And because they can't understand it and they can't deal with it, they actually miss that the power of the God that they teach about so much has come so close to them in this healing. They miss what God has done because they're so concerned with things being done in the right way, in the right order, at the right time, by the right people. They miss the power of God that has come so close to them. They're annoyed that Jesus has healed someone on the Sabbath, on the day of rest. They're even more annoyed that Jesus is operating outside of the social construct that they've built around themselves. and they're annoyed, so they question the healed man's parents. They question the man himself. They shout insults at him, and then they throw him out of the temple, like everyone has always done to this man throughout his entire life. It's just another day in this man's life, being thrown out, being avoided, being cast aside. But Jesus, being Jesus, he finds the man again, of course he does, and he invites him into the kingdom of God, and the man believes in him. Jesus invites in the one who has always been thrown out. And so that's what's all just happened. And with all that having just happened, Jesus now, in our passage, turns his attention to the Pharisees in John chapter 10. And he literally says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees." He speaks straight to the ones who are leading his people with pride and with self-interest, where actually there should be humility and generosity in abundance. And so Jesus explains that there are different ways to gain access to sheep in a sheepfold. People knew about sheep. It was an analogy that was easy for them to understand. There are those who gain access to the sheep in deceptive ways, like climbing into the sheepfold rather than using the proper entrance. If God's people are the sheep, then the religious leaders of the day, they gained access to those sheep deceptively. By education, by ambition, by manipulation even, and they led the sheep badly. But the real shepherd, Jesus says, the real shepherd enters through the gate because he is chosen, because he is anointed, because he is meant to lead these people. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. Jesus enters legitimately because he's sent by God to lead us, the sheep, with love. And so this is the point that Jesus is making. It's the difference between Jesus and these leaders that he's speaking to, because they treat the flock in a way that which does not glorify God, because the sheep are not loved. They are led astray. Jesus, however, he calls the sheep by name and he leads them into green pasture, and they follow him because they know his voice. There's a story that is in World War I when a flock of sheep were stolen from Jerusalem by a group of Turkish soldiers. And the tale goes that the shepherd knew that he couldn't regain his sheep by force from who they'd been stolen from. So instead, he merely calls out to his flock with his call, with his voice. And the sheep listen, and the sheep come back to their owner because they know their owner's voice. There is beauty and there is protection in knowing the voice of our shepherd. The more we know Jesus, the more we know his character, his heart, and his voice, the less we feel that pull to follow those that we shouldn't. He knows us, and we know him. Now, the Pharisees and the crowd surrounding Jesus, they were well-versed in Scripture, and they probably would have sensed the callback that Jesus is very likely to be making as he speaks about sheep and shepherds. And that's to a prophecy from the book of Ezekiel. You can see it in chapter 34. I don't have nearly enough time to read it all right now, but to summarize, this prophecy, firstly, it addresses the shepherds, or the shepherds maybe, that mistreat the flock. Ezekiel hears from the Lord that there are shepherds who are steeped in selfish ways, avoiding and ignoring the weak and the lost. They treat people harshly and brutally, and they don't care for the flock in the way that a shepherd should. Then Ezekiel goes on to prophesy the way that the Lord will look after his sheep in a way that is different to these other shepherds. And it's beautiful. It says that he will rescue them from the places to which they have been scattered, and he will gather them together. We're told that the Lord will tend the sheep, that he will search for the lost and bring back the strays, binding up the injured and strengthening the weak. and also that he will shepherd the flock with justice. And maybe that kind of shepherd sounds familiar, because that is what Jesus did in his life. That's what he did, that's how he lived, and that's what he's doing now through his Spirit. And it's also the calling on our lives to love like Jesus as we exist as his hands and his feet on earth. So it's our job too to bind up the injured, to strengthen the weak, to seek the lost, and to love them as best as we can. But we see in verse 6 of our passage tonight that the Pharisees, they basically cannot fathom that Jesus might possibly be making a statement about their hurtful shepherding in the light of his loving shepherding. So he has to put it another way. He has to explain it in a different way. And so as well as being the one, the only one, to have legitimate access to the sheep, to God's people, Jesus now goes on to explain that he is the only one to have legitimate access to God, to the Father, which is then gifted to us as we become co-heirs with Christ. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Gates, they allow us to enter places, aren't they? They mark the entrance. And the sheep, they go in through the entrance of the sheepfold. And so Jesus is telling us that he is the way in which we find salvation. And regardless of how tempting anything else is, or how other things just seem to draw us in and claim our time and our trust, Jesus says here, it's me that you need. It's me that you need. I can give you what you're looking for. A reconciled relationship with God after you've wandered away. It's through Jesus and only through Jesus that we receive salvation, where we receive pasture and we receive life. Not the other things that try and grab our attention. It's only Jesus. And we see this in the way that Jesus treats that man who he healed that I spoke about earlier. Jesus gives this man life in a way that he didn't understand before, life in a way that he didn't have before, now on this earth, but also in heaven forever. When rules and regulations were painted by leaders as the way to access God, Jesus changes it completely, and he points to himself as the access point to God. He's the Son who points to the Father, and then he justifies us before that Father because of the forgiveness that we receive through the cross. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 basically just reiterates all of this. I guess actually he said it before me. But Paul writes this, we have been justified by faith. We've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have been justified by faith. We have been justified and given peace through Jesus Christ. As sheep who wander, we are invited in to find life through Jesus, to enter in through the gate, the way in for us to be saved. So Jesus is the way in which we have the relationship with God in the way that we were always meant to have. He's the way in for us to receive life forever, now and in heaven. He is the gate. He's that access point. He's the bridge between humanity and our heavenly Father. But there's also a safety and a protection in Jesus being the gate. And of course, it would be silly to say that life is without difficulties and pain. It's not. That stuff is there, and it's big, and it's not fun at all. But there is a security because of the gate. There is a security and a safety and a protection because of Jesus. Now, it's thought that in Jesus' time, those looking after sheep would lie down in the gap in the rocks. So there wasn't really a gate as such, as we would know it, but instead an entrance, a gap in the rocks that formed the sheepfold. And those looking after the sheep, they would lie down in that gap. And effectively, as they lie in that entrance, they basically and beautifully become the gate. The shepherd lies down and becomes the gate to protect the sheep from wandering and to prevent wild animals from getting in and harming and hurting the sheep. There's a steadfastness and a peace to be had for the sheep because of the sacrifice and the faithfulness of the shepherd. They're protected because the shepherd is lying down. And we too can live with the steadfastness and peace which comes from the sacrifice and the faithfulness of that shepherd, of Jesus. It's not an easy life, but it's a promise of the presence of Jesus amongst it all. The presence of the shepherd brings safety to the sheep. And the presence of Jesus brings safety to us. And as the shepherd becomes the gate by laying down and providing security to the sheepfold, we're of course pointed to Jesus laying down his own life as he died on the cross to provide eternal security for each of us. So this evening, as we take communion together in community, we remember what Jesus did in his death on the cross. We remember that in the laying down of his life, he opened the way for us to receive new life. If there was no gap in the rocks, if there was no gate as such, the sheep wouldn't even be able to get into the sheepfold. Without Jesus, we can't get to God. We couldn't get to God. Our messiness can't be in the presence of God's perfect holiness. Yet, we actually can be in the presence of God because Jesus takes our mess in his death on the cross and therefore gives us a way to God because we receive the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus is the way to God, the bridge, the gate, the one through whom we are saved and given life in all its fullness, now and for eternity. And it's our job as ambassadors of Christ to share that promise of life with those around us. Because the world needs life and the world needs hope and the world needs Jesus. So as we remember Jesus' broken body, as we eat the bread and drink the blood spilled, we give thanks that this was done for us, individually and us together. It was done to take away what we deserved, what was meant to be for us. Jesus took, and we receive salvation. Jesus' death and his resurrection show us that he is the gate to God and that he is the gate to life. And because he's the gate, he welcomes us in. I'm going to pray just to finish, and then we'll take communion together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words, that you are the gate, that you are the way to the Father. We thank you that whatever else we try, Jesus, that we can come back to you, that you are the one who is the only way to life in all its fullness. I just pray for each of us here this evening that we would know afresh all that that means. That, Lord, we would know that we are safe in your sheepfold because you are the good shepherd. Amen.